I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity for me to share with you this morning. But before I share with you this morning, I just wanted Carl to tell me what I'm talking about here.
Kanatokowam, kanatokowam, tichafarakwazo, kanatokowam.
Can you tell me what I was singing?
The same song, right?
The same song we just sang. I was singing it in my vernacular language.
So it is a small world. When we are Christians, we share the same thing. The lyrics are the same. But today, I would like to share with you something so common, something that you have heard about so many times. A story that is not so new to each one of you. And many of you have had an experience of what I'm going to share today. I would like to ask, first of all, if any of us here today have raised grapes or grown grapes? Anyone who has grown some grapes? You have grown grapes, right? And anyone here who have grown vegetables? At their backyard? Yeah, we have some vegetables at our backyard as well. But I want us to look at the labor that is involved in raising a vineyard. Huh? How long does it take before you start enjoying the fruits? Couple of years. I thought he was going to talk about a couple of weeks. But it's not. Unfortunately, it's not a couple of weeks. It's about a couple of years. And those of us who have had an opportunity to grow vegetables in our backyard, how long does it take before we go there to harvest? A couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, we are already enjoying the fruits in that garden, right? So the story today that we are going to be looking at is one of those that is found in 1 Kings chapter 21, only 6 verses we are going to look at today. And that has to do with what I was just talking about, the idea of a vineyard and the idea of a vegetable garden. Someone would start saying, oh, why are we talking about vegetables and grapes? There is a great lesson that we can learn in that particular chapter. And that is what we would like to go together to try and learn what is in that section together today. Can we all go to that chapter so that we can read together? Verse 1 says, sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth and the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is very close to my palace. In exchange, I would like you to listen very carefully on this one. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. I will pay you whatever it is worth. I'm just offering you. Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is very close to my palace. And in exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or, if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. Verse 3. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. So Ahab went home sullen and very angry
Because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. He lay on his bed sulking and he refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, why are you so sullen and why won't you eat? And he answered her, because I said to Naboth, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard in his place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you. I would like to thank you for this opportunity to share with your people, Father. Help me, Father, to be able to explain, to be able to bring out the message that you would like your people to hear. May you bless this message, Father. May you prepare our minds so that as we look at these scriptures, Father, you may grant us the wisdom to know what is right. Help us to listen. We are ready to hear from you, Father. Amen. What an offer. What an offer that was. That's a huge and tall order. Just imagine the president comes to you and say, you know what, this is what I would like you to do. Could you please do this for me? And then I'll give you whatever. What would you say? How would you have responded? I would like you to listen to care, to go back to verse 3. Naboth did not take time. He did not ask the king, please, would you give me some time to think about this offer? I think it's a very important offer. May I have some time to think about it? He did not do that. He actually said to the king, verse 3, but Naboth said, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors. There are some things that we have as Christians that we would like to hold as sacred. There are certain values that we have as Christians in our Christian walk that we would like to preserve. The things that make us who we are, the things that make us children of God. There are things that whenever people come to you and ask you in exchange, as Christians, my message is we should never compromise on the things that we understand as basic, as things that we understand we hold as crucial values for Christians. There are lots of them. One would say that I do not have a vineyard, so what do I have to worry about? I don't have a vineyard at all. So who is going to ask for my vineyard, which I don't have? Yes, we do. We do have vineyards every day. The devil is looking at the things that you have. The things that you have acquired that he is sulking on. He is actually jealous. He is actually envying you because you are on the right track. The Lord is preparing a way for you as you walk that Christian faith. And the devil is not happy. He wants to sway you up. Come to my end. Come to my camp. But do we have the guts in every life, in our life, to say no to some of those things that we know are wrong? Can we, as Christians, can we say no? Can we advertise ourselves and, you know, everybody know that we are Christians wherever we go, be it in our schools, be it in our workplaces, be it anywhere where we mix with people, are we making it clear that we stand by our Christian values. When somebody comes to us and swears us, can we stand for that? There are some values we all know how important it is to be, for people to stand for what they believe. Integrity is very important for us as Christians. That's what makes us who we are. That's what made Christ the person he was, because he was not willing to compromise his values for anything else. The disciples followed suit. The same thing. If it meant that they were going to be flogged to death, yes, they were flogged to death. If it meant that they were going to be ridiculed and, exposed to any kind of persecution, yes, they went through that persecution because of what they held, because of what they believed in, because of what they had seen in Christ. That's who we are. Naboth said, this is not for sale. Forget about it. There's no negotiations. It's not for sale. My integrity is not for sale. My Christian values are not for sale. They are not for compromise. You cannot exchange those for anything else. We know very well what happened to Naboth. Eventually, Naboth was what? Was framed, and he died. He was killed. But was that a just cause? Was it a good thing for Naboth to do that? Yes. What does it show us as Christians? It shows us that we have to behave in the same way. We have to stand up, speak up for the things that we hold precious. The freedom that we got when Christ died on the cross for us, the redemption that we are proclaimed, it is proclaimed there, the Lord died on the cross for us, and we can't sell that, we can't exchange that, we cannot say anything, will be of value other than just protecting our rights as Christians. Would like to read from Paul, from James chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Let's see what he says. James chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. And verse 7 reads, submit yourselves then to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Naboth was able to stand his ground. He was able to show that he stands for what he believes in. That's typical. Is that very typical? If we look at most of the offers, someone has something better for you, and you turn it down, and they get angry. They get angry why you are refusing an important offer. This is what happens. The devil knows how to reach us. The devil knows the things that we like. Those are the things that he is going to appeal to. He is going to reach you on those things. When we get such offers, I'm going to ask you to read through the fine print at the bottom. Because the king, surely if he had a very good vineyard that you would give to Naboth, why would you be so upset about somebody saying, no, I would like to keep my bad one? Why would the devil be so anxious to have you come into his camp if he thinks that your camp is not good for you? He would rather leave you to go ahead with your own camp. But he says, come to my camp. Yours is not right. And then he gets angry. When you say no, he gets angry. Why would you be angry about that? So that is what gives us the opportunity to assess, is this genuine? is what this person is genuine. As Christians, we have to pray for the power to discern what is right, the power to stand for what is correct, not to compromise our values. I know there are many things here today that, you know, we can't do as Christians because we give in. Oh, we cannot fight against this because everybody else believes this. No, it doesn't have to be the whole United States believing that. No, it's just two people. In a village, there could be one person who is right, and the Lord takes care of that person who is right. So your position, if it is right, stand for it. Safeguard it. Each time you give in to the devil, you are in fact selling your vineyard. We have the Holy Spirit that was planted in us, which is a seal of approval that we are children of God. And that's what the devil wants to take away from you. The Lord has invested a lot in us just by letting us call him Father. Even though we are so sinful people, we still go and call him Father. And he says, come my children. That's a great investment which we would like to protect. And I would like to read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, just briefly. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. I would read. Paul is writing to the Philippians and he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn in between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is by far better. But it is more necessary that I be with you. In other words, Paul recognized that it is much better to die for Christ than to gain the world. The same thing, the same concept in this case that we are learning from our neighbor. He discovered, well, that's okay. I will die for my inheritance. The same thing we should do as Christians. Okay, it's okay. I can go through that persecution, but I should suffer for Christ. It is better to suffer for Christ than to gain the world and still lose that inheritance that we have worked for our entire life. Most of us have not they have not tested any other life apart from Christian life for many years. Would you allow the devil to take that away from you? No. My challenge to you today, in conclusion, will be, what is your decision when the devil comes to ask for your vineyard? Are you going to give in, sell, get rich? Or are you going to say, no, this is not for sale? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen.